الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام، beloved brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen the plains of Arafat on the occasion of the farewell pilgrimage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was the most mubarak place of the plains of Arafat. It was the mubarak day of Jumu'ah. It was the time of after Asr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed this magnificent verse of the Holy Quran. Such a magnificent and great verse that one rabbi, Jewish rabbi, had come to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and told him, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, you have in your book such a great verse. And if that verse was revealed upon us, the Jews, we would have taken that verse as a day of, we should have taken the day as a day of Eid. So Umar radiallahu anhu inquired, what was that verse? And he recited this verse that I recited before you. As Umar radiallahu anhu told him that I remember the day and the place and the time when this verse was revealed. Implying two things, one of two things, that it was already a day of Eid. Day of Arafah for the Haji is a day of Eid. And it's a day of Jumu'ah, a day of Friday. The day of Friday is also a Eid, an Eid. So they said it was a double Eid. Or it meant that we do not innovate things from our own side. We would have not taken it as a day of Eid. Why? Because we do not innovate things. Eid is only that which Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has fixed for us and have told us and informed us about. So we are followers of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Deen is the name of Ittiba. In this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, there are three things that are mentioned. Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. The first part of this verse tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that today I have perfected for you your Deen. Today I have perfected for you your Deen. That Deen has begun from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. It had come down to all the respective Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Today it has reached perfection. And who has perfected it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the perfecter of the Deen, then if the entire dunya stands on one side and finds fault in it, then they cannot be justified. In whatever aspect of Deen, whether it is the marriage that is conducted in Islam, whether it is the economical system, whether it is a system that pertains to our physical being, personal system, private life, or the public life, all the teachings that are found in Islam, they are all perfect. Why? Because they are perfected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And this is our iman. Iman, this ayat demands that we believe in that this deen of ours is perfect. Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum, and the perfecter is none other than Allah. So if Allah has perfected the deen, there can be no flaws, no faults, no shortcomings in this deen. Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati, and I have completed my favor upon you. Among the greatest favors is the favor of deen. All the other favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their place. But the greatest favor is the favor of deen. The person has deen, he has everything. If he doesn't have deen, he has nothing. If a person has deen, then for him is the day of Jumu'ah, for him is the day of Eid, for him is all the rewards that Allah Ta'ala has promised, for him is all the everlasting rewards of the hereafter, if he has the deen. If he does not have the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah save us, he's out of the deen of Allah, then for him is nothing. For him the days and the nights are not different, it does not matter. For him the namas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah does not matter. To him those promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good deeds does not matter, because he does not have deen. So I have perfected for you my ni'mat, my bounty is completed upon you, and wa raditu lakum al-Islam madina, I have chosen for you the deen of Islam is your way of life. Wa raditu lakum al-Islam madina, and I have chosen, Allah Ta'ala has chosen, the deen of Islam is a deen for us, is a way of life for us. That is why if you study the deen of Islam, then it is completely perfect, and it has everything that a person requires in his life. Everything the person requires from death, from birth right up to death, everything that you require is found in the deen of Islam. So this ayat was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the plains of Arafat, and the glad tidings it contained, And the companions of Rasulullah said, were present there, 124,000. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had recited this verse. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had mentioned sermons regarding the responsibilities and the deen. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also mentioned, Allah falyuballighu shahidul ghaib, oh, those that are present here, to take this deen and take it to those people that are absent. So in the companions, the Sahaba ikram, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'een, had seen or heard this verse of the Holy Quran, then there were three things that they had done. Firstly, they had understood. They had understood the verse of the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, they had practiced it. And thirdly, they had propagated it to the four corners of the globe. This was what the Sahaba ikram, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'een, had understood and did in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had understood this verse. Why? If you look into this in their lives, you will find the total Islam, the full Islam, was found in every single Sahabi. The life of every single Sahabi, all the different aspects of Islam were found in his life. So it's never found that one Sahabi is leaving his Salat, but he's leaving out Zakat. He's giving Zakat, he's leaving out Hajj. He's performing Hajj, but he's not fasting. No. So it's never found that they were deficient in any aspect of Islam. They had understood this verse completely, fully and totally, and thereafter they had practiced it. They had understood what it wants from them, what it demands. It demands that we surrender before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all aspects of our life. Every aspect of my life, I surrender to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that mentioned in the Quran and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether it is my marriage, whether it is my buying and selling, whether there is a birth in my house, whether there is a death in my house, whether I'm buying, whether I'm conducting a business, whether it is my social life, whether it's interacting with people around me, whether it's my personal akhlaq, whatever it is, in all aspects, I surrender to the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the total Islam is found. It's found in my life, found in the life of my wife, my families, my friends, my surroundings, my environment. The total deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is found. And thereafter, they propagated this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the complete deen and the full deen in all the different walks of life, in all the different parts of the world. They went and propagated this deen. This was the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why they superseded the entire ummah. خَيْرُ أُمَّةِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the best of my ummah is my period, my companions. They are the best of this ummah. Then those that will come after them, and those that will come after them. Why? Because the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not because they were very rich, not because they were very knowledgeable, not because they were very good looking, no. Because they had taken the message from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam totally and fully, implemented it in their lives, practiced it, and then propagated it. So they became, and the great sacrifices they gave in order to understand this deen of Islam. Look at people like Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, just to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, day and night in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, day and night, not even having things to eat and drink, and he used to collapse between the member and between the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu used to collapse out of weakness, out of hunger, etc. But no sacrifice was too much to learn the deen from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the great sacrifices, some Sahaba ikram ridwanullah alayhi wa ajma'in, when they went to learn this ahadith, after learning it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they went to the muhaddithin. 1 month's journey just for one hadith. 1 month's journey just to go and learn one hadith that they had already. That because that person had heard it directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that undertaken this great journey to go and learn this hadith. Similarly, for companionship, they had gone to great lengths in the time of companions of Rasulullah, thereafter in the time of Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in, going to the pious people, the awliya Allah, staying in the companionship to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they had understood this verse, implemented it in their lives, and they became role models. They became role models. We managed to come right after the day of judgment. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِسْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ. Allah Ta'ala says that if you people bring iman, who? All those people are besides the companions. You bring iman, بِمِسْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ. Like they have got iman. فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. Then you are upon hidayat. If you want to be upon hidayat, then follow the iman of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَصْحَابِكَ النُّجُومِ بِأَيِّهِمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ. My companions are like stars. Whomsoever you will follow, you will be guided. Whoever you will be follow, you will be guided. So they had superseded this ummah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen them. لِصُحْبَةِ النَّبِيِّهِ وَلِإِقْمَامَةِ دِينِهِ. For the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala selected the companions, the Sahaba. And wal iqamati deenihi, to establish their deen. That is why we are obliged to follow them and to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to follow them as well. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa'i ar-rashidin al-mahdiyyin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that follow me, follow my sunnah. Wa sunnati al-khulafa'i ar-rashidin, and follow the sunnah of the khulafa'i ar-rashidin. So we are supposed to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, when he was asked which is the road or which is that path where everybody will be successful, what is that path? Everybody is going to the fire of Jahannam except one group, Firqa-i Najiyah. Which is that group? He said, Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. That path, that way of life, that lifestyle upon which I am, wa alayhi ashabi, ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. And my companions are also on that path. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had defined the path of salvation and success to be the path of his and the path of the Sahaba. That is why we follow the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, those people that follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is how it was right up to this day, alhamdulillah. We are all part of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We will follow the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow the path of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the first effort that they had made after they said La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, the first effort of this deen was upon the aqaid, was upon the beliefs, was upon tawheed, upon the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find every companion was perfect when it came to his beliefs. If you look at this deen of Islam, it was not a name of few acts of ibadah. It was not only giving charity, it was not only having a good akhlaq, but this deen of Islam comprised of five basic branches of deen. The first one was aqaid, and La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. This formed the basis of the aqaid, that is to believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There can be nothing that can take place in this world but with the power of Allah, with the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything that takes place in this world with the power of Allah, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can be done without His power, without His order, without His permission. So this was the first basic belief, the belief of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And dependent on this belief is all the other aspects of Iman. If a person is weak in Iman, then what happens is weakness will show up in all the other aspects of Deen. That is why the most primary teachings of Islam is the Kalima Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and together with it, all the other particles of Iman. We must study all the other particles of Iman to believe in Allah, to believe in the angels, to believe in the last day, to believe in resurrection after death, to believe in qadar taqdeer, good and bad, to believe in the day of judgment, the day of resurrection, etc. All these are particles of Iman. So the first and most important aspect of deen is our Iman and our aqaid. That is why today we should be ensure that we follow the right group, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and we have the right beliefs, because there are a lot of sects now, deviant sects that are creeping up and coming to our shores here that we never had heard of before. Like the Shias, the Qadianis, etc. Their beliefs are totally different. And their beliefs are distinct and different and are not compatible with the beliefs of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So this is the most important aspect of our deen, our aqaid. And then comes our aqaid, thereafter comes our ibadat, our acts of worship. How are we in our acts of worship? Is our acts of worship conforming to the way brought to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And conforming to the way that is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, there is for us to do some soul searching and check. It is with deep regret that we see in many a people, when it comes to the foundation, the fundamental aspects of our ibadat, that is salat, we find is a large percentage not carrying out salat. Large percentage not carrying out salat. Some hadiths we understand, man taraka salat faqad kafar. Some ulama holders view a person who leaves out salat, he has committed acts of kufr. So this is also a place of concern for us when we check now Islam, when we're looking at the Islam, the total Islam that was perfected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comprises of these five departments. First one of them, as I mentioned, is aqaid. Second one of that is our ibadat. We should check how is our ibadat. Up to what extent am I functioning with my ibadat, with my salat, with my zakat, with my hajj, with my qurbani, with my amr bil ma'roof, nahi an munkar, according to Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi. All these are aspects of ibadat. There are 10 types of ibadat according to him. Amr bil ma'roof, nahi anil munkar, It's why earning an honest living, fulfilling the rights of the people around us, to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all these are aspects of ibadat that fall into the category of Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Oh Allah, only you do we worship, and only you do we ask for help. All these things are included. So we need to do some introspection and see whether we have this in us, whether we have this is found in my life. I'm establishing the sunnah, I'm commanding for, with good things, I'm commanding people to do good, holding them from evil, I'm earning an honest living, I'm establishing the sunnah in my right, in my life, I'm fulfilling the rights of people around me, my wife, my husband is the lady, my wife is my, for us, our families, our neighbors, our elders, etc. We're fulfilling the rights. This comes, falls under ibadat. The third aspect of Islam is the muamalat, the dealings, especially the monetary dealings that we have. Most of us are working, most of us have shops, etc. How is my monetary dealing? Is it conforming to the way shown to us by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or am I dealing like the people around me? The people around me are kuffar. For them to take interest, to give interest, to go into those deals that are contrary to the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mean nothing. It is just the rand and cents that matter for them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has predicted that people from this ummah also will carry on like that. يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِي الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخْذَ مِنْهُ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمِنَ الْحَرَامِ. And we see this in so many aspects where a person is not concerned whether the wealth that is coming to him, is it from halal sources or from haram sources. The fact that wealth is coming, he carries on. No. When a person is a Muslim and a mu'min, then he is concerned. His business transactions also are governed by what? By the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the teachings of the Quran. When it comes to fulfilling the pleasures, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْفُوا بِالْأُقُودِ. O you who believe, fulfill your pleasures, your covenants with people. When it comes to riba, أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَا. Allah Ta'ala has made buying and selling and transacting permissible. وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَا. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made usury and interest completely haram. So all these things are there before him in his life. So there is a third aspect that his dealings, his business transactions, and his monetary dealings conform to the way shown to us by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's our bounden duty, if you're going into business, to go to the respected ulama kiram and find out from them, this is my business. Is there not anything that is contrary to the order of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Am I doing it in the way shown to us by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This can only be known if you go and find out from the ulama kiram. This was the third aspect. The fourth aspect of our life is our social life. How is our social life conducted? Our weddings, our funerals, our interacting with our neighbors, our interacting with the people around us, our interacting with our clientele, our interacting with our relatives, our children, etc. How do we interact with them? All this we find is governed by the deen of Islam. Islam comprises of all these things. One hadith when it comes to iman, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, al-imanu bid'u wa sab'una shu'batan. Iman has over 70 branches. Over 70 branches. In other words, the 70 things here in iman, in the deen of Islam, that comprise of iman. And iman governs that. Iman shows us how to behave in those branches of deen. So here also we find Islam has a different branches. When it comes to our social life, should not be such. Today we find a great disparity between that sometime a mu'min who outwardly seems to be knowing the deen of Islam, reads his salat in the first saf, but when it comes to his weddings, completely contrary to Islam. When it comes to the funerals, things that are carried out there, completely contrary to Islam. What does this mean? It means this person has not understood what it is to be a complete and full mu'min. And mu'min, he does not know that like Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us how to read our salat, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us how to conduct our weddings, how to conduct our funerals, how to conduct our social life. So the fourth aspect is the social life, the interacting with people around us, the occasions of nikah, and occasions of janazah, etc. We see everything conforms to the way shown to us by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And fifthly, is our personal akhlaq. A person that has outwardly is carrying out the ibadat, is good in his muamalat, social life also conforms, but his akhlaq is not proper. He does not have humility, his pride and arrogant. Similarly, he does not forgive people, he's going around fighting with people, he cannot control his anger, and he does not overlook people, he does not forgive people, he is not generous, etc. If we look at the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Bu'istu li utammima makarim al-akhlaq. I have been sent for the perfection of good akhlaq. Every aspect of akhlaq, every trait and characteristic of akhlaq was perfect in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for us, the role model is who? None other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are from a very supreme and a very high standard of akhlaq. So in every aspect of our life, we should be following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When meeting a Muslim, what should be our akhlaq? We should be smiling and making salam to a Muslim. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned. That means has Anas radiallahu anhu, who says, I never saw anybody smiling more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he used to meet, he should be smiling. Going to the home, he should be smiling. Today, just the smile has become so difficult for us when we meet a Muslim brother. And when we don't meet him, if we meet him, we don't even make salam sometimes. If you make the salam, there's no smile there. Why? We feel there's no reason to make salam. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, لا تحقرن من المعروف ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه تلك. Do not belittle any good deed. Even if it is Muslim, meeting a Muslim brother, meet him with a radiant face, meet him with a face, smiling face, meet him with happiness. This is the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That creation of Allah was most supreme, who had the greatest responsibility on the face of the earth. But we find whenever he entered into his home, it's mentioned he used to be smiling. Whenever he used to meet his companions, he used to be smiling. Why? This is the teaching of Islam, to spread love, to spread brotherhood, spread peace and harmony between the Muslim brothers in the society, in the locality. So they are saying the brothers believe and smile, but there's occasions to smile. There's a happy occasion, people are sitting glum and gloomy. It's a happy occasion, people are sitting as if there's a funeral. Should be smiling, sharing that happiness with the people around us. So when it comes to the personal akhlaq also, we find that Islam has penetrated their lives. And wherever they had went, we find they had projected the full Islam. Each one of us is an ambassador of this deen of Islam. Our aqaid also should conform to the aqaid of the Quran and Hadith. Our muamla, our ibadat also should be such that conform to the Quran and Hadith. Our muamla and dealing should be such that conforms to the way shown to us by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the kuffar out there will not be able to see our ibadat, but they will definitely see our muamlaat, our dealing with them, dealing with trustworthiness, with truthfulness, dealing with integrity. There will be no fraudulent dealing, buying and selling. There will be no fraudulent deals. There will be nothing going against our contracts that we have, or the covenants that we make. We don't breach those covenants ever with them. The promises that we make, we fulfill their promises. We are true, trustworthy, and we are fulfilling all those things that we are committed to. Our word is our honor. This will impress upon the people around us. Similarly, our social life, when you look at our social life, they should see the beautiful aspects of Islam daring. And you will be surprised. In the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, basic teachings of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attack the kuffar. Remember one Jamaat was in the New York area, and they said you were walking around, and at that time there was a lot of propaganda against Islam and the Muslims. But one person came by and saw our dressing, and he looked at his dressing and he asked us, what is this? Who are you people, and what is this dressing, and where do you come from? He said, we told him who we are. What our object was, he says, that person, after 10 minutes, he read the Shahada, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. After 10 minutes, this way of dressing was so attractive to him, that in that environment, where there was so much propaganda, anti-Islamic propaganda, he is prepared to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So the Sunnah has an attraction. The Islamic way of life has an attraction for people. One place a person saw, they saw a group of people sitting down and having meals. They asked them, what is this? And how is it all of you are having meals from one utensil? There's no distinction here. There's no difference here. You are not separating the white from the black. And from this person, this people of this country, from that country, there's no discrimination, etc. So this is the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just by looking at that Sunnah, they accept Islam. One person sees a Muslim making wudu. He says, I see so much anwar and noor in this wudu, that looking at that wudu, he accepts Islam. So these are all things that if we practice, the people are waiting out there for Islam to come into our lives. But the effort that is made here every week is that the entire deen comes into the entire humanity. Right into the day of judgment. Starting from myself, I must judge and look within myself. If I have that akhlaq, if I have that muamalat, if I have that social life that was found in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if I have it, alhamdulillah, I must go out and propagate it to the people around us. There are hundreds of people, as I mentioned, who don't carry out the ibadat. There are hundreds and thousands of people whose dealings are contrary to the ways of shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's hundreds of people who do not adopt the way, the sunnah way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their dressing, in their cleanliness, etc. One person tells me, my son told his friend in Washington University to accept Islam. He told him, what is the difference between me and you? I stand and urinate here in the urinals, you do the same. I eat from this canteen, those things that are halal and haram, you do the same. I am pursuing a cause here, you do the same. There's no difference between me and you. There's supposed to be a distinct difference between the life of a mu'min and the life of the person who's not a mu'min. And that will be only found if you have the total Islam with us. And this is the effort that is made, that the entire deen come into the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam till the day of judgment. And there can be no greater effort than this effort, because that was what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is at heart, the fikr and concern for the entire humanity right at the day of judgment. Now a person may ask a logical question, that my life is so restricted, my life will be so short-lived, how would I reach the entire mankind and get the deen to the entire humanity? I must start from myself. Get the entire deen in myself. I'm lacking somewhere, to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make effort on my iman. So when there's a strong iman, that will generate the power for me to accept the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all aspects of my life. And thereafter I go out, while I'm gone out, I'm reminding other people also about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the importance. I may not reach the last man, it will come before Qiyamah. But inshaAllah, with having this great intention, person has an intention, sometimes mentioned, niyatul mar'i khayrun min amalihi. Sometimes the intention is better than his actions. His actions are restricted, but his intention is unrestricted. Once Mufti Zainul Abidin mentioned, he asked one person going out, a youngster, it was after Asr Salat, where are you going? He said, I'm going to establish the deen in the entire dunya. He's going just to the locality here, but his intention is international. His intention is for the entire world. And it's not impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him the reward for all the intention that he has. That for the people right at the day of judgment that will come, he can get the full intention, provided he's sincere, he's doing it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this gathering here that takes place every week, the object of this gathering is the same, that the entire deen of Islam comes into my life, I begin to practice it, and comes into the life of every human being on the face of the earth. It was for this that the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made great sacrifice. Their sacrifice was not only for accepting it, but for accepting it, understanding it, and implementing it, and making effort for it. That is why we find the graves are spread right through the dunya. Different parts of the world, their graves are there. Not because of their businesses, but because to go out to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their lives were so exemplary that even their trading, as you mentioned, when they used to trade in some countries, people used to look at them, and when they went to leave the country, I told them, don't leave the country. Why? Because the justice we saw in you, the trustworthiness and fruitfulness we saw in you, in your actions, etc., in your businesses, something that we will miss. And they forced them to stay in the country, and they made them like them, and accepted their way of life. Just their businesses had attracted so many hundreds of people to come into the fold of Islam. So as I mentioned, we are all ambassadors of Islam, each one of us. When we go out of here, the non-Muslim that sees us there, it is not distinguished that this is Muhammad, and this is Ibrahim, and this is Farooq, and this is Alim, this is a businessman, he sees Islam. He sees Islam in action. So if we are courteous with people around there, we practice the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we overlook them, we forgive them, we look after them, then what happens? We are propagating our deen. So we need to understand that the deen of Islam is perfect. We need to understand that we have to take the deen of Islam totally and fully in our lives. Secondly, in the lives of the wife and children. Thirdly, we should spread this to the people around us. And when you do that, then we have at least achieved something of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At least something we have resembled them in some way or the other. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will resurrect us with them. Because we are part of the same group coming from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the form of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And all those forms, all those people that oppose the way of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we should make effort to them, explain them. So many of them have misunderstood, do not know the right way. It's our duty to go to them, explain to them. And obviously that is the right object that will come. But we have to start in our homes. We have to start with our Muslim believers. We have to start. Why? Because when we ourselves are not portraying the true image of Islam and Iman to the people around us, then they will look at our lives and go far away from the deen. Reminds me of an incident. One of my friends had mentioned to me, you find very commonly for those people who don't understand the object of the work is to spread the deen of Islam. Within our ranks first, thereafter to the people around us. He said, when he went to the door and he tapped the door and he said, I'd like to discuss with you, why? He said, don't tell me anything. Go to this person here. He's not a Muslim. Don't tell me. I'm a Muslim. He said, fine. You also join us. Because our duty for all of us, all of them, the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's the Ummah of Ijaba and there's the Ummah of Dawah. Ummah of Ijaba is those people that have accepted. Ummah of Dawah is those people that have the Dawah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They must also follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We work in our home, in our ends. Why? So that the Ummah of Ijaba becomes so strong, strengthened, that the Ummah of Dawah just looks at us and accepts Islam. So they went, interestingly, they went with that person. You have to accompany us because this is your suggestion to go to so and so, Mr. Pillay or Munsami, whoever it was. So they went to his house and they stepped his door. The person came out, they gave him the five principles of Islam. Bunyan Islam, wala khamsin, shahadat, la ilaha illallah, iqam al-salah, wa ita'i zakah, sawm Ramadan. All the five basic principles of Islam they explained to him. He says, after they finished, said that person began to speak. He says, I'm a non-Muslim. This chap is a Muslim. He says, I work in a store that's Muslim. And when Ramadan, the month of Ramadan comes, then I don't even eat my food. If I have to eat it, I go to the corner somewhere and I sit down and I eat it. Why? I have so much respect for the Muslims. But this person here, this year that you came with, he walks around the street like that. And he's a Muslim person. Here we find a Muslim, non-Muslim, telling us what is stopping him from Islam? The actions of this Muslim. I respect the Muslims and I stand in one person in one corner and eat my lunch because it's the month of Ramadan. I know what their feelings are. I'm so sensitive regarding their feelings. This person walks in the street like this and he's a Muslim person. Here we see the actions of a Muslim. Actions of a Muslim are deterring a non-Muslim from coming into the fold of Islam. So we all have a responsibility, whether in our private capacity, whether in our capacity in our homes, in our shops, in our areas, etc., of propagating the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this way where it is so easy when a person goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and day in and day out he's listening to talks of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is motivating him, inspiring him, generating his power and power into his iman, and it makes it easy for him thereafter when he's in his home, in his business, in his practice, to practice the deen of Islam. So alhamdulillah, this gathering takes place every Friday. And alhamdulillah, gatherings of this nature take place in every masjid, mashallah. We are so fortunate. We have so many masajid. And in every masjid we find in the morning, halkas of mashwara take place. In the evening we find ta'lim, etc. takes place. Gush takes place. Where this harakat is there all the time. It's there all the time for a person to regenerate his deen and his iman. And to strengthen his iman. And to increase his level of Islam. That the glad tidings of which was given to us in the plains of Arafat. And alhamdulillah, those people that are linked in the work, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everyone and link us all. We find that they are occupied all the time. All the time. In this way, you are safe from any fitnas. Some ulama and akabir have mentioned to us that you get safe from all the fitnas. How? Link yourself to the work. And link yourself to the work with heart and mind and soul, and you see how you are safe from fitnas. Why? You have no other work. In the morning you are worried who you are going to meet. In the evening you are busy with the mashwara. Thereafter you are worried about the 3 days when it will take place. Then you are worried about the gush that takes place weekly. Then you are worried about the jors that take place. When you are worried about the ishtima that's coming, etc. So all the time, your mind, your time, your energies, your resources are occupied in the deen, in establishing the deen in yourselves, in your wife, in your children, and the community around you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of the work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such. And this is such a work that abolishes all the differences amongst us. There may be one that is an alim. There's the one that doesn't know how to read alif ba. There's the one that is a rich person. Next person may be a poor person. One is a king. There's another one who is a subject. All sit together. And this is the spirit of brotherhood. We find it in many halkas. We find it in the gatherings of the ulama as well. We find it in the madaris as well. And alhamdulillah, we find it here as well. That all the distinctions that were there, they are abolished completely. All those obstructions that were there are abolished. Of language, of color, of creed, etc. They are abolished. We sit here like one ummah. We have muhabbat like for each other, like the Sahaba had for each other. And Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullahi's last bayan also was the same thing. That all these artificial barriers must be broken down. There's no question of religion, color, background, etc. We are one ummah that we are here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. When we see that day, when the entire world becomes like one ummah. Entire world, all the people of the world, or all different countries and different backgrounds become the sayers. And the sayers of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and those people that are Muslimin, they come into that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us for that day to come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah.